Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. On this Friday, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we're going to open the doors, talk about money and trust. Not a legal trust, you know, but the kind of trust that you have in your marriage. Is it as trustworthy as a legal trust when it comes to how you handle money? Or has there been a lack of trustworthiness with money in your marriage? How do you handle that? We're going to get very intentional and a practical discussion about money and trust in marriage. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I am Dr. Randy Carlson, and we're talking about money, and we're talking about trust. Those are, put one in each hand, and you look at money. Money makes the world go round, they say. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Boy, that's true. We know that money can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. And in marriage, when you put money into a marriage, when two people manage money together and they have the same view of money and they're on the same page and they're working together as a team to make their money go where they want it to go instead of following along or chasing their money, but allowing money to be something that they manage under the authority of Christ, what a beautiful picture it is of God's intention within marriage. Money is one of those things that can either be a great blessing or a great curse in marriage. And I always shake my head when I see couples who try to hide money from their spouse, or they try to have their own accounts and, in a sense, playing games in marriage. And the reason that it seems so ridiculous to me is because it's so self-destructive. There's nothing good that comes from that. At the end of the day, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt your kids. You're going to hurt your marriage. There's nothing good that comes from it. There may be a short-term pleasure or a short-term sense of control that you experience, but if you stop and think about it, you know the long-term is nothing but pain and loss and difficulty. And so bite the bullet, as it were, and say, hey, let's stop this train of being not trustworthy in our marriage, and let's get on another track where we can grow together. Today, we're going to hear stories of people who are wrestling with trust and money, and I want to help you figure out how to be intentional in the process. So if you'd like to join us with a comment on our storyline, call 888-888-1717 as we start today's Intentional Living.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Tanya. My husband and I are living intentionally by sticking to God's design for money. We are learning to live that it is not our money, but it is His. We recently sold a vehicle. So we went from 3 vehicles down to 2 vehicles. And with that money, we are tithing off of it. And we are hitting our financial goals this month of living the 10-10-80 plan. And we are working every day intentionally to raise our children, to worship the Lord and Christ. And we are just so thankful for your program, because without your program, Dr. Randy, we wouldn't know what to do. Your radio station is a guidance to us every day, and we are just so thankful that you are on the radio. Thank you, Dr. Randy, and all of Family Life Radio. We are so thankful.
Well, you're very welcome. We're glad to be here on the Intentional Living broadcast every day from our center. And you can share your testimonies with us as you call 888-888-1717. Randy Carlson at the Intentional Living Center. We're talking money today and the, money, the good side and the difficult side. Let's go to Karen, who's in New Mexico with a question for me. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to make this quick. Several months ago, I noticed there were several charges showing up on our credit card bill for gaming. And I said, you know, that's not a good sign. I think that's, you know, pushing it. You know, there's already time and effort being spent, but now there's money, too. And so that stopped. And then I think it was January, I found out that there'd been a lot of charges happening on the business credit card and a lot of charges. And so, you know, we did have a conversation about it, and I thought I understood that it wasn't going to happen anymore. But and I've been asking to see that business credit card bill, and I hadn't been seeing it. Now, I saw one just this weekend, and it was over $500. And so, you know, that lack of transparency certainly isn't good, but also just that concern for, you know, I guess addictive person. Is this an addiction type thing? Mm-hmm. Is it tied to gambling? I'm just trying to.
It can understand. Be. Yeah, absolutely. It's it can be. There are people who find themselves in this addictive kind of process to gambling. I mean, we could you have organizations build up around helping people that wrestle with this. And of course, it impacts your marriage, and you're concerned about. I hear you saying you're concerned about the fact that you don't have trust in your husband. You don't have trust in what he's doing. If I heard you right.
Well, you know, that lack of transparency has certainly got some things. You know, I'm wondering about some things for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen, yes. To answer your question, you got to follow what you're sensing on this in terms of. Can you sit down with your husband? Has he ever acknowledged that this is an issue? Does he express that he's concerned about it as well?
Well, he kind of dodges it a little bit and says, wow, you know, I'm really surprised it could be that much, and I'll have to look at it. And then
didn't come back, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you, Karen, if you have a good relationship, sit down with your husband and just lay it out. Take the credit card receipts and the bills and just lay it out there so it's visual. It's right in front of you. Sometimes just having it right in your face is a wake-up call, you know, whatever it is in your life. I went and saw the doctor the other day and had a couple blood reports I didn't like, and he didn't like either. A couple things that I have to work on based on my life and so on. Seeing the numbers there, it makes a big difference. I'm not just talking about it. There they are. There's the number right there. And we don't like that number. We want to move that number down. And so sometimes getting it right in your face can be helpful. And then putting a strategy together, which may be that you control, maybe you don't want to, but maybe he needs to have a process where you're controlling the credit cards or it requires, I don't know, maybe there's some process that could be set up that it requires two people to do that. And if it's signing for something or don't use a credit card. In other words, I believe that sometimes we got to put behavioral mechanisms into place that are alter our behavior. And if you can't get it done yourself, then to find some help from outside, get a counselor or someone that can help you through the process. Well, I appreciate your call. We're praying for you, Karen. I hope that helps.
Thank you. Is there any organization in relationship to, like, I guess, addictive things with the gaming? Is there such a thing?
Well, I know of, and I don't know anything about the organization. I think there's a Gambling Anonymous group that may be supportive. I do some research. I think finding a counselor in your area who does addictive counseling, they may be able to give you these direct help more than I could. So I hope that helps. Thanks for your call.
A few of the tips I had in stretching money, mostly it was patience. You know, when I saw something I really wanted, I just said, Lord, bring that thing along in my price range in good time. I know that requires patience, and that's not something that's real popular right now, but it has been just amazing to watch him do that in so many ways. And his word says that he withholds no good gifts from his children. And so when he does bring those things along, and even when he doesn't, I know and believe that that would not have been a good gift for me, but that if he wants me to have it, nobody can stop it from coming to me. It's kind of like the story about riding in an airplane. You know, there's no reason to be afraid. If God wants you in heaven, nobody's going to stop him. And if he doesn't want you there, nobody's going to deliver you to his doorstep. Same thing goes for our finances and the blessings that he has in store for us on this planet. I just appreciate his generosity every time it comes through, and even when it doesn't, because I think he's grooming us for a better life.
Randy Carlson here, talking today on the line with Heather in Phoenix. Welcome, Heather, to the program today.
Thank you.
We've been talking about money. What's been your experience?
About 2-3 years ago, I kept getting calls from realtors and creditors and stuff like that, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And finally, I asked one of the realtors why they kept calling to ask if my house was for sale. And she informed me that I hadn't made a mortgage payment in quite some time, and my house was going to auction.
Oh, wow.
And they were asking if I wanted to sell before it went to auction. And
what was that? What was that moment like when you heard that? What were you experiencing?
My heart sank, and I was upset because I knew that that was my husband's kind of quote unquote job in our marriage, and was to pay the mortgage. And so I asked him. I confronted him, and his response was, "I'm sorry, I messed up."
Mm.
So, again, heart sank. And I think it hit me pretty hard knowing that we would have to move from our home, the neighborhood, such and such, the school that my kids had been going to.
Well, yeah.
And it come to find out it had been several years.
So we hadn't made payments in years. And did you end up losing the house, Heather?
We ended up having to go through bankruptcy, which was a huge mess. In and of itself, we were able to save the house by doing, I believe it's a chapter 13, where you go back and pay back what you owe. But the headache, the heartache that all of that had caused was way worse than if he just would have came forward and told me. Because then I could have helped. I could have got a second job. I could have babysat, something to bring in more money.
Well, why wasn't he making the payments? What was he doing with the money?
To this day, I don't know. And part of me, I don't want to know.
What happened to your marriage?
I'm sorry, what?
What happened to your marriage as a result of all this?
We ended up getting a divorce because, like you said earlier on the program, that if they're hiding this, they're hiding more, and it was credit card debt and so on and so forth, which all of that came to the surface when we went through bankruptcy.
Mm. Hey, let me ask you, what would you do if you were back in that marriage? And I'm sorry for this, Heather, for you guys, for both of you. But if you were back in that marriage, let's go back, rewind the tape 10 years or whatever. What would you do different than you did do?
I think I trusted him so much that I never really looked at the bank account. I just trusted that he did his part, I did my part, and we worked together. So next time, if I could do it over, more of an open communication, and not to have him scared or think that I'll be upset if he were to come to me and to talk to me open and honestly. I'd rather the open and honest than to be totally blindsided.
Yeah.
And have to play catch up or, you know, I mean, because the bankruptcy process, it's not as glamorous as some may think. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time that you're having to go back and forth to lawyers. And so I would suggest open communication.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a core in marriage, open communication, honesty. I even think of the verse in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have a better return for their work. You know, putting two heads together, two hearts together, being honest. I don't know of anything good that comes from hiding things in our marriage. I really don't. I mean, I know it might be a short-term gain, but long-term, it's going to bite you. Heather, thank you for your call. I appreciate you adding to the discussion today. Hopefully it's a warning and a reminder to somebody listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
I had been tearing my husband down, and I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me. I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, "I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce." So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him instead of trying to be in control. He didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one. He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together.
Well, you can do that, and there's a couple that decided to get on a new track, a new direction for their marriage, and you can do the same thing. Maybe you're heading in the right direction, but you just want to be stronger in your communication. You want to do a better job of growing your marriage. Well, here at Intentional Living, we're taking this message of the Intentional Living Way for your marriage on the road, and we're calling it the Intentional Love Marriage Conference. It's about 3 hours long, and I'm going to unpack the secrets of intentional living. We're going to share the process of intentional living for your marriage, how it works. And we're going to share stories. I'll share illustrations from my 40-plus year marriage myself. And we're going to talk about how you can have the kind of marriage that God intended for you to have with communication, intimacy, and closeness. I hope you'll come. We're going to be in Mesa. And this is a summer series, by the way, July 15th, a Friday night. In Mesa, Friday night, July 15th, Saturday afternoon, July 16th, over in Glendale at the Glendale Nazarene Church, and then the following Saturday morning, July the 23rd, in Michigan at Youth Haven Ranch. And tickets are available. You can register. All the proceeds go to the ministry and the blessing to your life and the teaching for your life. So get your tickets today. Go to theintentionallife.com. TheIntentionalLife.com and register today.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Thanks, Kurt. Welcome back to the Intentional Living Center. We're talking marriage today and money and trust. And Chris is waiting on the line to tell us how this whole thing of money, marriage, and trust has affected his marriage. That's coming up next.
Hey, this is Bobby, and I am living intentionally by mastering my money. I am in the process of going to Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. Your program has checked me about being intentional with my money. I have begun to pay off debts, received 2 tax checks, and have begun using that to pay off medical bills and other things to get a hold of the things that are managing me instead of me managing them. Also putting into place a budget and living by it, and living by a cash budget instead of just by the seat of my pants. I thank you for the challenge that I hear from you daily, and I challenge others to do the same.
Hey, thanks for sharing your testimony with us. Your stories matter a great deal. You can share yours today, either a story or a question, when you call 888-888-1717. Randy Carlson here at Intentional Living Center. Let's go to Chris, who's on the line in Arizona. Money story today. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, yeah, it's good to be here.
Appreciate your call. What's your take on how money affects marriage?
So my wife and I just recently married, coming up on a year in August.
Mm-hmm.
And we're blessed in the sense of before we got married, I had started reading a book, like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that I, as a man, was not really handling my money well. And I think it's so easy to think in extremes of money that we don't think, I didn't think I had a problem. But when I really looked at the numbers and saw how much I was spending on, maybe going out or something, even when I thought I was being pretty frugal, I had a lot of money left over. And so I was a pretty strong advocate of when my wife and I were coming together to take a class together. And it's been so beneficial because we've been on the same page from the get-go, completely open and honest with each other. We have like the same bank account. So both of us have complete visibility of everything. And, you know, I'm sure if I say, like, saying this to a bunch of people, it would sound, I don't know, kind of crazy or controversial, like just maybe people might think it's a paranoid kind of thing, but there's so much freedom in having that open line right there.
Oh, absolutely. What I hear you saying, I think you're a great call, Chris, because it wasn't like you were in a mess, and it doesn't sound like you had this huge problem and dishonesty and hiding money. You just woke up to one day and saying, hey, I'm just not being a real good manager of money, and my wife and I aren't really talking. And so you changed some behaviors, but that brought with it freedom.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how's your life different today, financially and otherwise?
We're actually doing, it's actually really cool to think that, you know, I think you'd mentioned when two become one, you mm-hmm. think that you believe that comes with finances as well. And we were under that same persuasion. And it's, you know, my wife and I, we're both going to school. You know, I've got a part-time job right now, or two part-time jobs right now. And we're the only debt we have is student loan debt. And even that's pretty minimal. But the cool thing is just seeing how much God really has blessed us with. Mm. As, you know, she's 23, I'm 22. We're both younger.
Good.
And the class has just helped us because it really showed that it's more about behavioral things, like you were saying, like self-control or mm-hmm. sitting down and talking with my wife, you know, at least once a month, going over the budget with her. You know, and then we can share our goals. And I think someone had just called and talked about how, you know, she was having to pay off stuff on her own because she was scared to, you know, because she couldn't trust her husband with it. And that just, I think that was, you know, great of her to do. But it's sad because they can't cherish that victory together.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when my wife and I, when we make progress, we get to share it. We get to experience that together when we're going through a tougher time and look at the budget and just say, all right, we're going to have to stop. Like, we're still in it together. And so even though it's not the best thing in the world, it's like we're still a team through it.
Yeah. See, tell Chris, listen, you guys are just young. You're getting started. And the principles you're learning here in your marriage about managing money together and communicating, if you use those same principles, and there really are intentional living principles, you follow those principles when it comes to kids, to your faith, to decisions about, you know, where you want to live or career or anything,
right.
Those same principles will work. And I'll tell you what, you get off on the right start like this, and you guys got 50 years plus ahead of you, and you're going to be a lot better off when you look back at the other end saying, hey, we got on the right path at the beginning, and you'll never look back and regret it.
I agree.
I can assure that.
I agree 100%.
Well, I appreciate
you know, it's,
oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, it takes a lot to try and get all that stuff together and get all the financial things together. And you just got to white knuckle it and make that decision and then go forward with it. And it's been the best thing one of the best things about our marriage so far is just making that decision together and actually following through with it.
Oh, so good for you.
Just wanted to share that to try and help out some people who might be on the fence, you know.
Well, you've encouraged a lot of, hopefully a lot of young couples getting started. Get on the same path. If I could talk to you 30 years from now, you won't have any regrets, I'm sure. Hey, Chris, thank you for your call, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, and stay intentional. We talk about the freedom process, intentional living, is about, first of all, focusing on God's intention, and that's what Chris and his wife are doing, and then developing, you know, the right kind of habits, turning habits by repeating actions into habits. That's part of this freedom process. They're doing that. And then really decluttering your life. And I heard him saying, hey, I'm going to declutter some of these other things and get focused on we can manage money together and then really enjoy it. It's going to be a positive thing for Chris and his marriage, and it could be a positive thing for you guys as well. If you get intentional about the things that God's given you, not only money, but your health, you know, you think about it, your marriage, your kids, every area, all of these great gifts that God's given us to be intentional. All right. Thank you for your call, Chris. Appreciate it.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Lauren. I'm an intentional giver, and I'm so incredibly grateful for your program and your station. I just wanted to comment on forgiveness. My biggest challenges with forgiveness when I, like, really hate someone, don't know if I really hate them, but I just have such an ugly feeling when I think about that person or hear their name. I realized a number of years ago that what I need to do is just decide I'm going to forgive them, and it's a commitment to forgiveness. It's not a heartfelt feeling, but I make the commitment to forgive, and then I intentionally pray for them daily. I pray for God's blessings on them, and I pray for their salvation. You know what? I just keep doing it, and I tell you, in a couple of weeks, I'm over it. I don't hate them anymore. My peace returned. So anyway, thank you so much for teaching me how to be just intentional with God's word. Thanks, Randy. God bless. Bye.
Well, you're very welcome. You know, the Bible says that we're to take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, and the Bible has a lot to say about our thinking. Paul reminds us that we are to not only take captive every thought, but we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, he says in the book of Ephesians. And I believe we do become much like what we think about. If we choose to think about things that are negative and down and critical, we become a negative and down and critical person. If we choose to think about God's word, meditate upon his truth, meditate upon the things that are important to him, then we become more like him. That is what intentional living is all about. And you know what? In the process, we're able to share this message. And when I hear a testimony like that of a changed life, a story like that, I'm reminded that what we're doing matters. And I want to thank those of you who stand with us in prayerful and regular monthly financial support to do this. And for instance, this year, Amy has joined us from Flagstaff, Arizona, and become a monthly member. Amy, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for your ongoing support. Rhonda from Lawrence, Kansas, listens to 88.1 Family Life Radio. Thank you for your support. Kayla from Kentwood, Michigan, listens to Family Life Radio. Thank you. And from Roswell, Tammy has joined us in monthly support. Each of these saying, hey, we believe that this message matters, and we want to be a part of getting it out to a hurting world. And thank you for standing with us. And by the way, Amy and Rhonda and Kayla and Tammy and 3,500 more people every month receive my teachings, all of them on CD, all of my ongoing teachings that I do with my staff. And when I travel, we record those and send them out to our members. So if you're not a member, come and join us today. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And also check out the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, Mesa, Glendale, and Youth Haven in Rives Junction, Michigan. I'd love to have you be at one of those, okay? We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.